is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you some beautiful Christian music and hear another message in our collection of sermons on the end time. Now, today's message comes from Volume 4. It is, Are You Looking for the Second Coming? Of course, preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, if you would like to get this entire set of sermons on the end times, you may do so. It's on CD. Just call us, write us, email us, and we'll be happy to tell you how to get your copy. And don't forget to stay tuned after the message to hear about our gift offer A containing 5 sermon books by Dr. Green, over 1,000 pages in all. But right now, let's hear Will the Circle Be Unbroken and Oh, How I Love Jesus, and then Dr. Green.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw that hearse come rolling to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Undertaker, 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 please drive slow. For that body you are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go. I will follow close beside her, hold my hand up and be brave. For I could not bear the sorrow when they laid her in the grave. Will the circle be unbroken? A better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One day, will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
I love to sing its words.
the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Father, in the name of Jesus, our soon coming King, lead us as we study thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are two verses of scripture in the Bible that will jar you into thinking. If you'll sit still, if it's humanly possible to be still for the next 18 or 19 minutes and let me preach to you and tell you what I have on my heart today. Now then, in Hebrews 9:28 is the first verse that I want you to notice. And then there's another passage that I'm going to read before I leave the radio. Now, in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That verse of scripture, when I read it, in preparation for this message today, it made me tremble down deep in my soul. I don't mean literally sit here in my chair and shake like a leaf in the wind, but I mean my soul trembled when I read that verse of scripture. Now listen, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now I believe that. I've never been an atheist nor an agnostic. I've always believed the Son of God died on the cross. I've always believed that Jesus was crucified. You believe that? You say yes, preacher. All right. He was offered to bear the sins of many. Now, I believe that. I believe the Son of God can save any sinner that will call on him. I believe any sinner that will repent of sin and call on Jesus, I believe the Son of God will save that sinner. I believe that. But do I believe this? Listen. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now listen, that verse of scripture linked with another verse that I'm about to read in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 will make you think, beloved, if you'll just sit there and listen to my message. In Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation teacheth us, or rather bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us, listen now, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something, beloved. If you want to put your salvation in God's scales and weigh it and see if it balances up, we'll do that now in the next 5 minutes if you'll just listen. In this 11th verse of this second chapter of Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, you know good and well that any person that believes the Bible believes that we're saved by God's grace through faith. In other words, it's absolutely impossible to be saved apart from grace. There is no need of talking about a salvation apart from grace. There is no salvation apart from God's grace. Now, you know that. And the grace of God is Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is grace, and Jesus is truth, and Jesus is salvation. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, Jesus. Jesus is the name. Now listen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, it's impossible to be saved apart from grace. If you're saved, you are a recipient of God's grace. If you're saved, it's because of God's grace. And if you're saved, the grace of God hath appeared to you and abides within you. Now listen. The grace of God doesn't stop when we're saved. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Now you wait a minute. You wait a minute, beloved. Suppose you heard me standing down the street. Maybe you were sitting in a car and I was walking down the street. And you heard me take God's name in vain and just cuss and swear. And maybe you heard me telling a dirty, vile, ungodly joke. And maybe you saw me going in a liquor store and come out with a sack of liquor. Maybe you saw me sitting in a tavern drinking beer and I come out the door wobbling, staggery drunk. Would you accuse me of being a Christian? I'm talking to you. Would you accuse me of being a Christian? Why, you'd say, there goes that preacher Oliver Green. Why, he's the biggest hypocrite and he's the biggest liar that I've ever seen. Why, he gets on the radio and hollers and snorts about sin and the devil. Look at him now. Listen at him now. Why, certainly you'd be justified. You wouldn't be judging. You'd be stating the fact. Now listen, beloved. I don't want you to turn your eyes upon me. I want you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I know that I'm weak and unworthy, and I know I've made mistakes, and I know that I'm full of faults and failures. I know that. But let me tell you something. I haven't been drunk since God saved me, and I haven't been in a tavern since God saved me, and I haven't had the smell of liquor, wine, or beer on my breath since God saved me, and I'm not a blasphemer since God saved me, and I don't steal since God saved me, and there's a lot of other things. I could just keep on going down the line. But listen, I did not quit those things to try to get to heaven. The grace of God taught me not to do them. There didn't any preacher come to me and say, Mr. Green, you shouldn't take God's name in vain now. You're a Christian. Why, Mr. Green, you're saved. You shouldn't go to a tavern and get drunk now, Mr. Green. Mr. Green, you're saved. You shouldn't tell dirty jokes and laugh at filthy, rotten jokes. No, there didn't anybody have to come and tell me, beloved. The grace of God that came into my bosom, the split second that Jesus saved me, the teacher, the grace of God, taught me to deny anything that is ungodly. Now, wait a minute. Anything that is not godly is ungodly. Anything that is not holy is unholy. Anything that is not right is wrong. And the grace of God will teach you to deny ungodliness. Now, wait a minute. The grace of God will teach you to deny worldly lust. Oh, yes, the lust of gambling and the lust of drink and the lust of the flesh and the lust of riches and the lust of other things that the Bible talks about. Now, the grace of God teaches us to deny those things. And the grace of God not only teaches us the negative, but it teaches us the positive. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, the grace of God teaches us that. Now, I said, and you know it's a truth, if you heard me telling dirty jokes and blaspheming and swearing and taking God's name in vain, and you saw me in taverns and nightclubs and dance halls, and you wouldn't accuse me of it. You'd say, there goes the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen. That Oliver Green's the biggest hypocrite that God ever let live. That's what you'd say, and you'd be right. Now listen to me, beloved. That is not the end of that passage. There is a semicolon. At the end of verse 12. Now, verse 13 is a continuation of the teaching of the grace of God. God's grace that brings salvation to the soul, God's grace that takes up His abode in the heart of the believer, begins to instruct that believer to deny ungodliness and lust and to live right and sober and godly in this present world. And while we're denying ungodliness and lust and living sober and right and godly in this present world, the grace of God teaches us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something, beloved. Before I started this message today, before you tuned to the Gospel Hour on this particular day, Had you one time thought that Jesus might come today? Now, listen, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. I'm just trying to put you in God's scales, and I'm going to get right in there with you. I'm not going to put you in God's scales and me stay out and judge you. I'm going to get in with you. I am. I want to crawl right up by your side, and I want us to see if our profession balances with God's redemption. Now, this Bible tells me that Jesus is coming for the folks who look for him. And this Bible tells me that the grace of God that saves teaches men to look for Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. If you want the shock of your life, you go to the average Sunday school class and the average church and the average church member. Thank God there are many above average. There are many extraordinary churches, and there are many extraordinary Sunday school classes, and there are many extraordinary Sunday school church members and Sunday school members. But you go to the rank and file, to the average church people today, and you walk up to one of them right out of a blue sky and look them right straight in the face and say, "Are you looking for Jesus to come today?" You might get the shock of your lifetime. And I'll tell you something else, and I'm not critical. Listen, beloved, facts are facts. When somebody tells you that Oliver Green preaches a second coming, that's a fact. They're not criticizing me. And I appreciate it. When anybody says to you that Oliver Green is a second coming preacher, they are not criticizing me. They're stating the fact. And when I say that I'll put it this way, all too many, and I'll say a great percentage of the ministers today go in the pulpit 52 Sunday mornings out of the year, 52 Sunday nights, and never mention the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if you'd walk up to some of them and look them right straight in the face and say, "Preacher, are you looking for Jesus to come today?" I expect it'd scare some of them so bad they couldn't answer you. They're not looking for him. Listen, beloved, the masses are not looking for Jesus. The masses are not expecting Jesus to come today. If they were, there wouldn't be so much cussing, blaspheming, swearing, and dirty, filthy talk, and drunkenness, and drinking, and lying, and stealing, and adultery, and fornication, and murder, and thefts. Listen, beloved, if the masses of humanity were looking for the Son of God to come back to this earth today, I tell you, there'd be a lot of changes made in a lot of lives. But now, I want to talk to you. There's no need to talk about that gang that's out yonder not listening to this program. I'm talking to you, beloved. Are you looking for Jesus? What about you, Oliver Green? Since you got out of bed this morning, have you one time thought that this may be the day? You know, one day he's coming. One day he's coming. Now, what does it mean to look for Jesus? Does it mean when you get up in the morning to raise the window and look out and stare up in the sky and say, "Well, I don't see him. I don't know"? That's not it, beloved. That's not it. To be looking for Jesus is to be expecting him, because the Bible teaches that he's coming in the day and the hour no man knows anything about. I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour, and since I don't know the day, and since I do not know the hour, then it could be today, it could be this hour, it may be before I get off the radio today. I don't know. And since I do not know the time of his coming, but I do know the fact of his coming and the surety of his coming, and I do know that it's imminent, it may happen any second, then, beloved, I should live expectantly. I should live as though he would come in the next 10 seconds. Now, that's what it means. The grace of God teaches us to look for Jesus. Well, you say, "Brother Green, to be frank with you, I don't know anything about it." Beloved, I can assure you it is not God's fault that you don't know anything about the second coming. Did you know there are 260 chapters in the New Testament, and the second coming is mentioned 318 times in the 260 chapters? Think of it, 318 times. Every 25 verses in the New Testament distinctly refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ bodily, yes, bodily, back to this earth. The grace of God teaches that he's coming. The New Testament teaches that he's coming. He said, "I go, I come again." The Bible's full of it. And if you go to church where God's man delivers God's message on the Lord's day, you know that Jesus is coming because God's preachers preach it. They can't help but preach it. Let me finish the scripture in Titus 2 and verse 15. Let me read verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Listen. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, beloved, it's my business to preach the second coming of Jesus. And it's a command for God's preachers, all of God's preachers, to tell the people that Jesus is coming back again. But now, wait a minute. Let me get back to my subject. Listen. I've been saved and I've been preaching the gospel 28 years plus. And it still makes me tremble down deep in my bosom. The Bible says that Jesus is coming for those who look for him. Hebrews 9:27. Coming for those who look for him. Oliver Green, if Jesus were to come today, would he get you? Are you looking for him, Oliver Green? Are you expecting him? Would you be one of those that would be taken up to meet him in the air? Are you looking for Jesus, Oliver Green? Jesus is coming for those who look for him. I ask you the same question that I've just finished asking myself. Are you, dear listener by the radio, looking for Jesus today? Unto them that look for him, he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for him? If you're not, God grant this be the happy day that you fall on your knees and pray for God to save you and put within your bosom the grace of God that will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live sober and righteous and godly in this present world, expecting Jesus, looking for Jesus, and thank God ready if he should come this very moment. Beloved, if you're not prepared, you can be prepared if you'll only bow your head and heart right now and ask God to save you through the shed blood of Jesus. Will you do it? Our Father, take this message. And dear Lord God, help that man or woman, boy or girl that's nearest hell to be saved right now. Father, the dear souls are under conviction. They're disturbed. They're troubled about this business. They're not looking for Jesus. Our Father, may they get down upon their knees and make their calling and election sure. Save many souls right now, dear Father, and we'll give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, our soon coming King, we ask it all. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Do you enjoy reading good sermons? Well, I certainly do. And I like to listen to sermons in person on CD and so forth, but it's hard to go back and just see exactly what was said a little bit ago. But in a book, you can go back a few pages, say, did I miss something? Go back and reread. That's what is good about a book. And that's why I'm mentioning this, because we have a new Gift Offer A, that contains five great books by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, all of these are hardback books, all of them containing great, great sermons by Dr. Green. And it's available to you if you simply ask for it by name, Offer A, and send a donation to the ministry in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can. If you can send 20, 25, even more, I urge you to do so. And if you would like several sets of this offer, you can do that. Just tell me how many sets you want, and please send a donation of at least $10 for each set that you order. Then you can pass around the extra books in your church or other places. So if you request Gift Offer A and send the gift of at least $10, I'm going to send you first a book entitled Miracles. It contains 3 sermons, The Greatest Miracle Since the Virgin Birth of Jesus Christ, Water Baptism, and Christ Died. Now I'd like to read just a portion of the foreword to this book. The subjects dealt with in this book, the miracle of a new birth, water baptism, and Christ's sacrificial atonement, are not new. But even among true believers, there is much confusion and lack of understanding concerning all 3 subjects. How does the miracle of a new birth come about? What is the relation of water baptism to salvation? How important is Christ's death on the cross in God's great plan of salvation? As you can see, very in-depth study. Then we have the book, 3 Men, and it contains the sermon 104, 3 Men Who Witnessed and Walked Away from Calvary. Then the third book is Timely Messages. It is 187 pages long, containing 5 great sermons. Also, Selected Sermons. And finally, 7 Voices Around the Cross. Now, there are over 1,000 pages in these 5 books, 24 great sermons. So you'll learn a lot as you read these books, one after the other. So to get all of this, just ask for gift offer A and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.